All right, so what is up, guys? Welcome back to the Late Night Shots podcast, episode 55 today. Starts off saying, I was wrong. You know, we both were. All three of us picked Greg Kirkfleet over Mason Paris, you know, and didn't turn out that way.
I didn't pick him over fucking Gable. God damn.
You know, I wasn't sure about the Gable match. I'll speak for everybody. You know, I think everybody wanted to see Kirkfleet versus Gable rematch, see how it aged. You know, like, I don't want to make excuses, but Kirkfleet's come back from injury, looked a little bit gassed. That being said, it's a major decision. It's not like it was decided by 1 or 2 points. Paris, it kind of seemed like experience kind of took the wheel on this one, and that's what won him the match, right?
Yep.
But people are just going to take this all at face value, so I kind of want to break it down. I can't exactly show you guys the video. That's going to be posted on my Instagram at Heavyweight Nation. You guys can go follow that. We have 16.8K followers right now. We're under 20K. We're on the grind, you know. We're in this for the long haul. But that being said, you know, let's look at the match. Paris comes in, takes a shot. Kirkfleet goes for the Mark Hall cement mixer on him. You know, probably not the best option. But the way people were hyping him up, you know, he could have, if he came out there and he stuck Mason Paris with that, which if he got him on his back, he would have stuck him. Same thing goes the other way. And for Gable, too. Yep. These are guys who are pinners, right? They catch on your back, they will pin you. If he hit that, the entire country would be on notice.
Yeah.
In college, on the senior level, and they should watch on the world level, too, you know?
Yep.
All those three guys are junior world champs. I'm pretty sure Cassiopeia has a world medal too. You know, that just speaks on how good this world class match. Paris is
junior. Oh, yeah, no, I just remembered.
He pinned him Hilger to make the world team. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and then he won by tech. Yeah.
Yeah, he won by pinfall with a dump. You know, also that speaks to international people not being able to stop a dump. It just kind of looked like it was something they couldn't stop. You know, you look at Colin Moore was hitting that too all over the place at the Mateo Pelicón, right? But back to this match, you know, you look at that. I think the main factor, it goes without saying, right? Adam Kuhn was the one seed heading into Big Tens, placed 7th as a freshman.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Blake Raising from Iowa won that. Tony Nelson got upset in the finals. You know, got injured while Raising was completing the shot. It was 2014 Big Ten finals. You guys can look it up if you want to. But that being said, you know, Adam Kuhn really started to get upset because he couldn't get out from bottom. Right. And that's something a lot of guys take for granted. That's kind of looked to be the thing in this match, right? He got written for over 3.5. I think at any weight class too, you know. Maybe if Ragason's a senior right now, same age as Lee, that's a lot closer of a match than people think it is right now. For the sole fact that Lee maybe doesn't get as many turns or no turns at all.
People, I'm sorry, but just to offshoot on that, people really thought that Ragason would be the one to beat Lee.
I said he would make the second period, planet. But that did age
that
well,
one,
right?
That one dude who DM'd you, I'm not letting him forget. And then he got tech fault. I'll give him this much. He made it out the first round, which is
he put
the best that anyone's
four
done.
4 points on Spencer Lee. Doesn't matter how he got them. They're 4 points, right? But I think another thing that aged good, you know, trying to make myself feel better right now, Devin Schroeder beat Liam Cronin. Zach Shire, I think it was, from Rutgers or something, or Maryland.
Yeah, he beat
Patrick
McKee. Barnett. Not Barnett McKee, yeah.
He beat both of them?
Was it who beat McKee? Oh, he beat both, right.
Oh, did he beat both?
Okay, no.
I'm not sure. We may have to look into this. I'll be honest, I was literally, my heart was pounding out of my chest waiting for this matchup to happen with Kirk and Paris. Dude, and after Kirk went from, I'm like, no, if Kirk has caught his back and pinned like this, it's like, oh, shit. Right now, I don't even know, but I think this is good for him and bad. I don't think this is too bad right now because I think anybody can agree if you go back and actually thoroughly analyze the match, it was closer than it looked, right? You know, it's a major, maybe it was like a 2 or 3 point match. If you take away the bad shots and that.
We might have to do that. We might have to go a little bit in depth on that. But
we
whatever
might have to do that later. But that being said, Paris is into the semis. He has Cassiopeia. Gable is into the semis. Gable is Christian Lance. Gable tech fought Christian Lance at 7 minutes. I think it scores 23-7 or something, or 23-8 or something like that.
It's 23-7, yeah.
That was Gable's first match of the season, actually. You know, Lance has gotten better. I don't know if Gable texts him. He probably does. I don't know if Gable turns Lance. People forget that Lance is probably top 5 strongest guys in the country at any weight. You know, dude's a tank. He just doesn't look like it. But yep. No, I think people want to talk about Kirk beating Paris beating Kirk. You know, does it mean too much? Probably not, except for the fact that Kirk Fleet has to go through the Razorbacks now. And
so
a guy like Cassiope can ride on top very well. Probably just as good as Paris, right?
Yep.
And then that being said, if Paris was able to gas out Kirk by just riding him on top, Cassiope theoretically should be able to do that as well, or if not better. And if Cassiope can gas him out and slow him down while he can keep him on his feet, I don't know if Cassiope can either just blow through him and score points, or I don't know if Kirk is just going to speed around him and keep scoring. Like, I see that being a close match. It's a huge contrast. They're polar opposites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where it comes into hand. Like, you don't know, because Cassiope just majored Trent Hilger.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like much, but Trent Hilger, again, is one of the – he's good. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, he shouldn't have gotten majored there, and Cassiope did it. And that was more on Cassiope wrestling good than Hilger wrestling bad.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that people just straight up said, fuck Gable Steveson, fuck Tony Cassiope, to go watch Greg Kirkfield versus Mason Paris says how much that match was hyped up. You know, mostly by me, you know. I take full credit for that. But that being said, you know, does it really matter too much? Probably not, because I think Kirk is going to make it into a third, fourth match unless he meets Cassiope in the Russellbacks before that, which I don't think he does. I think a 7 seed and a 3 seed can get into that match, right? They should be able to at least.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the story to tell, you know. There's a match I have been looking forward to, which is Trent Hilger versus Greg Kirkfleet. If that goes down, I haven't looked through the consolation brackets. We're literally filming this like 10 minutes after the match ended. So just letting you guys know that.
Yeah, at best, because I'm going to keep riding the Kirk hype train until this season's over, because I still think that he's got great potential. Yeah. Optimistically, for like other diehard like Kirkfleet fans, this could be a 1-2, 2-3, 3-1 situation, like Gable's freshman campaign, where Derek White beat Kassar, Kassar beat Gable, Gable beat White, so the seeding got all wonky. It could be a stylistic thing, like you said. Since there's a pretty heavily established top three already, really, with Cassiope, Gable, Paris,
say here is, right, if Kirkfleet just needs to be Cassiope in third, fourth match and place third. If he does that, he's going to have criteria of a Matt Stenzel and Colton Schultz there, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to give him a 3 seed nationals. We have to assume Mason Paris is going to take one or two. I don't know, dude. Like, it raises so many questions. It looked like he was just out of shape, I'll be honest. Like, if he was in shape, it really just came down to, like, the one good shot Kirkfleet took, he finished.
That's good.
You know, and I think the only people to score on Mason Paris after the past two seasons is, again, you know, Jamarcus Grant scored on him once, the Purdue guy, but he's super ducked him. I don't even know where to go off of that, but, you know, it happened. But the people that take him down and actually take him down like solid attacks were Gable Steveson and Mason Paris.
Yes.
In the NCAA. You know, obviously, you have Gwizdowski. Nelson took him down once, and then Don Bradley probably takes him down. This also brings up the questions. How far has Mason Paris progressed?
Pretty fucking far.
You know,
far.
Like, and how far has Gable progressed comparatively to that? Because if we go by this, Seth Neville's versus Mason Paris was a 12-2 match, and this was 11-3. That's a 2-point difference on that. You know, one was decided by 10 points, and one was decided by 8. That's theoretically what it is, you know? Again, I've talked about the fact that I don't think Cale would have put him out there, and he said that himself, that he wouldn't have put him out there if he didn't think he could win, right? That's just not the smart option. But again, there's a week to make adjustments. Nobody game plans better than Penn State. That's being said, right? I obviously see him performing better against Paris. Winning, I'll leave
probably it not going to try guys. To hit another cement mixer.
You know, I obviously would not have went for that, right? But again, you got to go big or go home at this level. You know, when you're the underdog, you have nothing to lose. And I've said this before, it's a win-win situation for Penn State. Craig Flip, I think we all agree, he's probably going to be the seed. You know?
Yeah.
It's been a rough day for Penn State. Joe Lee losing in the first round. Bo Bartlett's in the Russell backs after loss to Michael Blockus. And speaking of that, I think Max Muren actually lost to
Who was it?
It was actually, I'll just check that right now.
Yeah.
Obsessed wrestler. Max Muren lost to Ridge Lovett.
I saw that.
I was going to say watch out for Ridge Lovett earlier in the season because Nebraska had the huge run at the senior trials, right? I think another Nebraska match.
Best year in a minute.
Dude, I'm having so many doubts right now because I don't know, right? I know the baseline. I know Kirkley's beaten Jordan Wood twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a Kirkley with a torn ACL beating him.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that – and then Jordan Wood has a 9-6 match with Mason Paris and almost beats him, actually. If he didn't give up a bad takedown, then it's a one-point reversal. All that, right?
Yep.
But let's get into the topic everybody wants to hear about. What happens in the Paris versus Gable rematch, assuming Mason Paris gets through Tony Cassiope?
All righty. So it's hard to – I just think – and I know this logic did not carry well for Kirkley versus Paris, but it's been said again and again, I feel like Paris's attack rate is going to hurt him against Gable.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't see – the problem is, I think we can all agree that Kirk Fleet and Gable are the two quickest heavyweights out there.
Yes. You know?
I was going to say, Kirk has a gas tank when he's healthy. He didn't look too healthy, you know? That's all that can really be said there. But looking through to that, it's like Gable's probably better shape than Kirk is right now. And I don't think Gable's ever really had trouble on bottom, you know? I think we can count the freshman year of Big Tens and against Anthony Kassar, but Kassar was fighting his ass off to ride him for those 20 seconds, which, again, anybody would with that long left to win a Big Ten finals, right?
Yeah.
That also puts him in situations if Kirk can't ride him, and I'm assuming Gable is probably a little bit stronger than Kirk Fleet. You know, we have to assume that. And if you watch the match, Kirk Fleet was not using his strength whatsoever. Kirk Fleet looked really kind of scared and tentative in that match to attack. You know, he was taking open shots. You know, he looked like a guy. Because when I was watching him before the NOWC cards, New Line Wrestling Club cards at Rockfin, when he wrestled Himita, Demetrius Thomas, those are top-tier guys. Those are very good guys. Like, Himita's a guy who trains with Mason Paris every day. And they probably have close matches, right? He head right to the ground, snap behind. Same with Demetrius Thomas, head right to the ground, snap behind. And again, you know, obviously, if we go to freestyle, it might be a different story, just obviously.
I would say, given how good Penn State is at game planning, if I watched a bunch of Mason Paris film, I would, like, if I had to send a guy out there, I would say, like, hey, keep it space, keep it bay, because you don't want to get involved with that inside tie at all.
But is Mason Paris?
No, you don't. Because, you know,
see, the inside I would say that, but again, Mason Paris, historically, who has he had trouble hitting the dump on? Paul, at athletic people, and think about this, who'd be able to defend it better, a tall person or a short person? A tall person, right?
Hard to hit dumps on tall dudes.
Kirk Fleet fits that, but Kirk Fleet very well could have let him build up, snap single or snap go behind. You know, easier said than done, obviously, but who am I to critique Gary Kirk Fleet on that? But there are probably better options, you know? And then after
that might not have been the plan at all. I might have been just talking out my ass.
You saw immediate regret in that, you know, and he got ridden bad.
Yeah.
But again, he's a freshman. It's only up from here, you know. People only brought up age when it was Gable versus Kassar. People don't want to bring age when it's Kirkley versus Paris or something like that, you know, obviously. But I don't know, man. Like, let's go through the final, right? It should be that, you know, unless Christian Lance somehow pulls a miracle, right?
Yeah.
I think Cassiope versus Paris is going to be a closer of a match because Cassiope just has those monster hips. And if Cassiope doesn't get dumped, it could very well go either way. You know, I've said this again and again, probably going to come back to bite me in my ass. I think Paris wins that match 6-2. You know, I'm not going to give him a major. I do think Kirk Fleet does beat Cassiope when they come behind. I don't – unless he's out of shape, you know. I think this, if he is still recovering from injury, I do think the smarter thing is getting him to the consolation semifinal and forfeiting to sixth.
Yeah.
Or even forfeiting to eighth if you have to, you know. That's going to be a better option because, you know, at Nationals, he takes a loss, he can just wrestle back to third, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to win. You know, the undefeated career is out the window now.
Yeah.
It was good while it lasted. Tough luck. Doesn't always go your way, you know, obviously, but the finals, Gable versus Paris. This is only the second time they've wrestled, if this happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you see happening there?
Obviously, Paris has grown hugely, and Gable has grown, but I do feel like if you want to talk about guys jumping levels, Paris's progression is much greater than Gable's progression. Gable is doing what he, you know, always did. Mm-hmm. He's doing it a little bit quicker. He's doing it very efficiently. He's doing it very efficiently. I think I saw – I could have sworn I saw on, like, some – I follow this account, Quant Wrestling or something, like some data scientists who are, like, big into wrestling. Yeah, they do a lot of quantitative data. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could have sworn that, like, it was, like, Gable Stevenson this season has some, like, an 86% finish rate on takedowns.
Yeah, I think that –
I think one of his attacks he was 100% on. I think it might have been a double leg, but
half of those wrong, Cassiope.
Yeah, Mason though has progressed so much. It's not going to look like last time where Stevenson talked about this with Mike Mal. He said that, more accurately, Mike Mal noticed this and talked to Stevenson about it. So in the first match, in like the opening 10 seconds, Paris goes collar tie and then Gable goes at the elbow and snaps him right back down.
From Are you talking about on, the video that Floristan posted on YouTube last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, we both saw that exact same video. So, you know, I wanna just say something real quick, right? I think none of us can deny that Paris has a 10 times better gas tank than Gable. And a lot, pretty much 90 other heavyweights out there, you know?
I mean, it's easy to have a good gas tank when your attack rate is relatively low. His attack rate has increased, and obviously he's diversified his offense.
So what I want to say about that, right, the attack rate answer. 5 attacks from Gable Stevenson and 5 finishes is 10 points, right? 10 attacks from Mason Paris and 5 finishes is also 10 points. Right? Gable, this again in the video, is like he wanted to finish shots. Rather than more shots. I think that's going to come here, right? It all comes down to, we all know Paris is going to take shots. We all know Paris can get in on his legs, as we found out last year during the Big Ten Finals. It comes down to the fact that, is Gable good enough to defend the shot? Because you look there, Kirk Fleet's defense went out the window there. I don't know what that was. He just kind of got powered to the ground with the hips. It literally baffled me. Like, what? Like, I don't know what was going on. Like, he looked like he got injured on the first takedown he gave up. First offensive takedown he gave up, right? But I don't know really how to go about that. I'm saying if Kirk Fleet does get the 3 seed, Paris gets the 2 seed, it's in Paris's favor. I do think it's going to be closer, though, right? Assuming, you know, he works on a little bit, you know, obviously you can't risk those moves against Mason Paris. You know, 50-50 against Mason Paris, most likely you're losing, unless you're just bullying him over, which there's maybe 3 guys in the U.S. that can do.
Yeah, and so I don't have, like, any, like, notes prepared for this, but
– I mean, we're just doing this right after.
Like, obviously, Stevenson and Paris, I feel like that's not a bad style matchup for either of them, really. Mm-hmm. I think they're both guys who are unafraid to tie up. I think that Paris won't really do that again in this match, where he gets snapped down really hard and then he starts to like hesitate to engage in the tie, mm-hmm. because it's always going to be just such an intriguing matchup. And I'm also looking forward to whenever these guys are competing in freestyle as well. So, ultimately I'm still going to pick Gable for this one, just because I think Paris doesn't present the same challenges that Kirkfleet does to Gable. And in that case, it would have been a bad style matchup for Gable. Now, bad style matchup does not automatically mean that he loses. It just means that it's going to be a tougher match.
Yeah.
So for Paris and Gable, it's not going to go like it does last time, but I do see that there's more factors against Paris than there are against Gable, right? So, because Paris, even though he's done a great job chain wrestling this season, I think one of his matches, I saw like he started on a high crotch, swapped to a single, and then went double for finish. And his chain wrestling has improved massively, but at the end of the day, he's still just really got an excellent right-handed dunk, right? It's kind of like... It's kind of like DeSanto's situation at 133, except obviously better, because even though DeSanto is an excellent 133-pounder, because of Dayton Fix, his spot in the national finals is far from guaranteed, whereas Mason Paris is probably a majority of people's pick to make the national finals.
Yes. So, you know, and again, that being said, you know, Mason Paris, you have to consider him a higher caliber wrestler than Austin DeSanto. And that's, for this whole fact that, you know, assume DeSanto's going 57 for an Olympic year.
I think 65.
I would just say 57 since Fix is going 57. Let's just keep them in the same area right now. And 65, is he even in your top five, though? Is he in your top five for either of them? No.
He's not even in my top 10 for 65, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't know. Who would I count for 65? My number one would obviously have to be Zayn, then Yanni. Then McKenna, Pentelio, James Green, Pentelio, Jordan Oliver. Like, these are huge names. Like, the last guy I named was a two-time national or three-time national champ?
Should have been a goddamn four-time national champ.
Should have been a three-timer, actually. Yeah, four-time. Yeah. Dude, that's a topic of discussion for another day. It really does. You know, again, Logan Stieber, at least, you know, many guys have said that himself. You know, I think when I talked to Jimmy Law, it's probably the best thing. When he won as a sophomore, you upset the defending state champ. The dude, they're friends now, but he said, I'm happy that I lost to a guy that kept winning rather than a guy who had a one-hit miracle.
God damn it, man. I don't have anything against Stieber for the loss. It's just more that, like, the goddamn refs.
Yeah. It's like, again, what has Stieber done after college?
World team.
Has he made an Olympic team?
He did not make an Olympic team. He lost retired. To
Molinaro, right? Yeah.
He did lose to Molinaro, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. Molinaro is again one of the more underappreciated wrestlers out there.
That was a barn burner of a match.
Yeah.
Yeah, Molinaro ran the goddamn gauntlet. Like,
yeah. Nobody talks about it. Same thing with Ryan Deacon. I know, obviously, two completely different stages, but... Again, Ryan Deacon's win over James Green might be something we have to go over, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, I'll say my pick right now. I think, again, I don't know if Paris scores. Because, again, Paris's offense didn't look that good. It just kind of came down to Kirk's defense and Kirk's offense abilities. I think if Gable can keep his head on straight, Gable knows he can beat him. Gable knows he doesn't have to go big to beat him.
I feel like only one thing is really guaranteed with this matchup, and that is this is probably not going to be a major either way.
I would not be surprised if it is, but I don't think.
Goddamn words this morning, right? But I feel like it's just such a high caliber, and even though, you know, Gable stuck Cassiope that quickly, I just feel like, Cassiope? Well, that's not happening in Paris.
He majored on 15-6. Oh, Luffman.
I was thinking Luffman.
Yeah, but he has Lance. Lance beat Luffman, as he should have the first time, but...
Okay, so...
Yeah, also, you know, I'm going to be honest, I'm taking Gable. I think Gable scores either 9 or 10 points. Okay? I think I'll give Paris 2 takedowns. So 10-7, 10-8 match, I think. Yeah, 10-7 match.
That's a safe pick.
I think both of their defenses aren't evolved. I think where heavyweights have been evolving, we've been evolving offensively, not defensively.
Because, I mean, there's not really much that needs to happen defensively, if I'm going to be honest. Beyond, like, improved scrambling. Like, for example, that clip that you posted of, like, Kuhn and, like, the Northwestern fella.
Again, like, to have a heavyweight scramble like that in overtime, like, you know how gassed heavyweights are at all. You know how gassed anyone, like, say how gassed you are in overtime, right? High school overtime, the 1 minute period is the last period of the third, last minute of the third period in college. National semifinals, you know, this is where everything is on the line. Semifinals, yeah. It's been set, the scrappiest matches of the tournaments, you know? You know, again, what was it? Our Don Bradley episode, you weren't even here for that point, right? Don Bradley said it himself, you know, once you make it to the semis, all the nerves are gone. Unless you're a 1 or 2 seed, because you already locked up your spot as an All-American. The worst you can do is 6th, right? Yeah. Once you if you lose in the quarters, it's like your fate's not guaranteed anywhere.
Yep.
You're not guaranteed a spot on the podium. And that's why it's the blood round, you know? That's where boys and men are separated, so.
Yep.
And
man, I fucking love college wrestling. Like, because you got – these guys were all, like, top dudes in the country for the most part. Like, you got, like, multiple-time state champions. And sometimes a guy just comes along who's so good, it just makes them look like children. Like, it's like, fucking ridiculous. It's
crazy when you look at it, right? I was going to post something. Like, my Big Ten champion, all I will say is his first name starts with a G. He's a 4-time Minnesota state champion. He's a junior world champ, you know? And then something else to make them like even crazier, battable. Okay, Gable 10-7. What's your pick?
8-6, Gable.
Solid.
If I like Paris. I'm rooting for him to pull the upset. I'm rooting for it. Listen, whoever beats Gable wins it all. That's just it, right? If Paris beats Gable, Paris fucking wins nationals. Unless Gable improves enough and because if Paris does win, it's going to be super fucking narrow. That's going to be like a 1-point match.
I don't know, because Paris can blow. If Paris lands a dump, chances are he's sticking it. And that's where he presents the X factor.
Yeah.
Like, you can who the hell thought he was going to throw up 8 points on Nick Wazdowski like that?
Yeah.
You know, like freestyle savviness. Freestyle, I'll take Gable and I probably tech fall any day, because I don't think Paris can defend – you know, transitional offense from takedowns to turns.
Yeah.
Probably the same with Kerfoot, because Kerfoot can play that push-out point. It's more athletic than anybody, you know? I think Kerfoot, the fact that Nick Wazdowski has brought himself down to, like, a second-tier heavyweight at this point, just, like, with how good guys are doing. I mean, no, that's a little bit exaggerating, but he's still the top dog, but most likely – you know, it really sucks that his time frame.
People talk about him like he's second tier, and that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's going to suck if his, like, your time frame of ruling the heavyweight division is from 2017 to 2019. You know, Tervel Dlognev won 2016. And if Gable Steveson wins here, it's like, you had your window. It just opened too late and closed too soon. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, you know? Like, who are our past Olympic team members? Tervel Dlognev, 2016, 2012. Steve Mako, I think, 2004. 2000, I don't know who exactly it was, but pretty sure it was, like, Stephen Neal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or Kerry McCoy, one of those two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously, nobody gives a shit about 2000 because of Rulon Gardner. That's just what that is, but, you know, Paris does pull this upset. We're filming another one. You know, we'll probably film another episode tonight and get you out of double today just a quick recap on everything that's happened, because obviously the semis are going on tonight, I think.
Yep.
And we will find out who's going to be in the finals tomorrow, you know. The quarters are probably more of an interesting round here. I think Hilger versus Cassiope did go in as a toss-up. Didn't come out that way.
Yeah.
And that's just Cassiope Cassiope was in an island. The rest of it was down here. Everybody else is up here. He's just creeping towards that right now. That's all it really looks like. Mm-hmm. Gable versus Orndorff. You know, Orndorff matches up good against Gable, you know, but he showed that he matched up good. He put up a great fight. Like, people shit on him all the time, right? Then Lance versus Luthman was a huge toss-up.
Yeah.
No, I picked Lance. You know, I think Lance had always so close the last time. He just needed to finish a couple different positions. Lance is a guy I really want to do get on the podcast again, if you All-Americans, you know. Or in general, too, like, from D2 wrestler to All-American, like, you don't see that. Like, Nebraska's the only school. Isaiah White was the last person, I think, to do that. And if you look past that, Terrell Blagnev was a Division II wrestler, too. And then you look at the last quarterfinals, the one we went over, Greg Kerfoot versus Mason Paris, you know. Kerfoot is bald now. Nice. that's something I really want to say. Dude, he doesn't – I don't know about shaving the hair, but that's his choice, not mine.
In my head, like my thought was like, oh, when a Penn State wrestler goes with a buzz cut, because I was just thinking about like Bo Nickel, but that didn't fucking age well either. So,
no, his hair was not bad. Just wait till he gets the blue hair; it's over for everybody.
Yeah,
coming out there and stick whoever the fucking national finals.
Penn State dudes dyeing their hair—that's fucking dangerous. Ed Ruth, Bo Nickel.
People sleep on Ed Ruth so much. That dude is one of my favorite wrestlers ever.
If you are listening to this and you don't know who Ed Ruth is, go to YouTube right fucking now. That dude,
Ed Ruth versus Nick Heflin in the NCAA quarterfinals. Scroll to about the third period. You'll see a triple misdirection single to the left side.
The fact that
I know the exact spot of that says something.
I have so many notes on that. Like, genuinely, this dude has gone on record saying that he had the worst stance in NCAA wrestling, and he toyed with people. Mm-hmm. It was freaky. He's one of those dudes that, like, he's a lot shorter than he looks because of, like, how long he is. Like, people say the same about, like, Anthony Ashnault.
Yep.
Right?
Like, Anthony Ashnault's small, like, dude. I remember meeting him in person. Dude's not that big.
Yeah, Schnulte is, like, what, like, 5'6"?
5'4". I don't know compared to my height because people that are 6 feet tall and then go up to like here. So it's like, okay.
But you're what, like 6'3"?
6'3", 6'4". I'm still growing, dude. I'm 18, you know. I hit puberty late, but.
And Ed Ruth looks like 6'1", 6'2". He's only like 5'11".
No, that's kind of what I assumed, but yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, that being said, dude, like. We're going to have to do a walkthrough of, like, the consolation brackets of how they filled it out because I think it's more important because I don't know. I haven't found the – can you look up the allocations for nationals really quick? How many heavyweight gets?
I can't because of where I set up the camera. I can't right now, but I think it was, like, 8 people from Big Ten.
It was 8. That brings up something. Well, you said there's a huge – Kate Orndorff's the 18.
Yeah.
That's an All-American. He beat Christian Repertoire 5-0. Mm-hmm. I want to say this. Dorian Keyes only lost 3-0 to Christian Lance, or 5-0 it was.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've said it again, I was a fan of either Gerard Florell or Jamarcus Grant hopping in a heavyweight for Purdue, but they did what they did. They probably know better.
Yep.
I think Jamarcus Grant deserved a shot for his senior year. I think if he wrestled good, he could have pulled an upset somewhere and possibly secure his spot at Nationals. But, you know, again, Jack Hayes from Northwestern is getting left out. Garrett Capps is probably getting left out. That's 3 guys right there. Who am I missing? Dorian Keyes from Purdue is getting left out. That's 4 guys. Who? Christian Repertoire is probably getting left out. And there's Rudy Streck from Indiana is getting left out. That's just what it looks like right now. I think seeds may not hold in this tournament, but as far as who makes it to Nationals, in my opinion. And that's all that really matters, you know.
Logan Massa, god damn it. I just remembered that. That made me sad.
What?
It's like, that's what you'd expect. Oh, Logan Massa beating, like, DJ?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously.
But, like,
Andrew Sparks lost to Cameron Amin. I mean, that's kind of expected.
Goddamn outcome. I was so passionate about that match happening again.
I
wanted to see that.
Congratulations to my boy, John Poznanski. Punches stick to national
championship.
As a true freshman.
Yeah.
You know, dude, I love Brooks, but I'm rooting for Paz for the upset.
Yeah, you can root for
that
him.
That dude wrestled in my county. I single-handedly watched him beat the living shit out of my teammate in the county finals.
Ooh. This election, you got, like, living in New Jersey, dude. Like, I live in Washington.
Yeah, that's, all the, you know, all the, like, all the I honestly.
Dudes yeah. are, like, 3-4 hours, like, over
yeah.
there. Like,
yeah, no. Dude, like, I have, like, I talk to Jimmy Mullen, like, all the time. Like, PJ Casale, another state champ. Mike Duranza, who's sixth place finisher. Because there's a guy named Diego. It's, like, Machine Gun Crespo or something like that. DC trained. You ever see his post in my story, right? He runs, like, a heavyweight club.
Ooh.
And, like, that's kind of what, you know, I kind of liked it because it goes along with the theme of my page, right? Who is he coach? He's coach Zach Chaconis, New Jersey State champ at heavyweight. His senior year, number one in the country. Eric Chaconis, two-time New Jersey State champ, right after his brother. You know, he was a state champ himself 17 years ago. KJ Casale, who just won last year at 220 as a sophomore. Jimmy Mullen, who just won his first heavyweight state title as a freshman. Yeah. I think there's probably a bit more that I'm forgetting, but yeah, I'm pretty sure Luis Fernandez is the one he didn't coach. He went to a Red Nose, which is basically Bergen Catholic's club. So yeah.
And here we're all just like we're pulling for guys like Braxton Mikesell and
Braxton Mikesell's gonna do good. I just don't
know. That dude is gonna be so fucking good.
I don't
good.
Know like, if he's awesome. Gonna be the same after all the surgery is never because that's where guys' careers just kind of, you know, like Austin Gomez. We all just forgot.
I mean,
about
he's got
him.
A like, great.
He's
got a great sweep single.
Yeah, he Braxton. Does, but it's more muscling it. Like it's a mate. He reminds me of like a Mason Paris.
His legs are fucking gigantic. Yeah. What the
Mason,
fuck?
He's stronger than Mason Paris hands down. I remember we talked about this. I used to do these
he's
on.
Like a, he's a world record holder.
Yeah. After I stopped my podcast, like, on YouTube, I did podcasts on, like, Instagram Live, kind of, where I just talk to guys. I did one with Braxton Mikesell. If you just scroll up my IGTV videos, you can find it. You know, I did one with Jimmy Mullen, all this stuff, you know. And it's just insane.
Yeah.
To think about. But, wow.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the actual point of this.
Yeah.
Mason Paris may just be the guy for Team USA.
He could be.
And I really hate how I'm changing my opinions, but I know people who picked Mason Paris, people who picked Greg Kerfliet. I don't know a single person who picked Mason Paris to major Greg Kerfliet. That's the problem here. It's not
going to
switch
like
my opinions.
One diehard Michigan fan, but that would be about it.
Yeah, I think Mason Paris probably didn't pick himself to major at that point.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. Like after a while, you saw Kale going, like, what the fuck were you doing the first time you went for that? And then after that, they were like, oh.
Matches like that feel so goddamn good. Like, whenever, like, you're anticipating a tough match and then you, like, you don't, like, roll a dude, but, like, you score a lot more points and it's like, oh, sweet.
Because Kirkfeet's a guy who's not used to getting scored on. And once he got scored on, he's like, oh. That's why freestyle is obviously going to benefit him a lot more against Mason Paris, right?
Yeah.
Just for the sole fact that he's only on bar for like 10 seconds and he can just lay there without doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that being said, you know, I think this we've really covered all of really we need to cover, so.
Yep.
Yeah, any final words from anybody? No?
Not really. I mean, as always, like, you know, comment stuff. If whatever platform you're on, comment stuff that you want us to cover. Do stuff beyond just news. Yeah. So, yeah.
We'll probably have another one out for you tonight just based on the recaps and everything. Probably a little bit of a shorter one tonight, but.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go one way, didn't go the other. You know, we'll see time come natties and we'll know who our two finalists are tonight. And, you know, that's it. All right. So that being said, thank you guys for listening to the Late Night Shots podcast. This has been episode 55, and we will see you guys again next time.
All right. Peace.